Welcome to Marketing with Confidence. I'm your host, Marianne Amies. We're going to be talking all things digital and online marketing for business owners and marketing professionals. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by your digital marketing, be sure to listen along and you'll hear tips, interviews, and more that will give you the confidence to create marketing you love. Welcome back to another episode of Marketing with Confidence. I'm really excited to be joined today with Anna Lamb, and we're going to be talking about value-based pricing. How are you, Anna?
I'm very good, thanks, Marianne.
That's great. Look, I'd love you to introduce yourself to the audience and just tell us about how you became so passionate about helping women get paid properly.
Well, I actually got into pricing, and I only recently realized that there aren't that many pricing people in Australia, even though there's like a professional pricing society, but most of the members are from the US or Europe. Yes. So there's not that many pricing people in Australia, and I actually got into pricing because I couldn't decide which majors to do in university. So I did all three. I did economics, marketing, and finance.
Oh, wow.
And pricing was just the culmination of all three. And so I enjoy both the story and the data in business. And so pricing for me was using both of those skills, the analytical and the storytelling. And in terms of helping women, I remember when I was working for companies, I was just really interested in products and services and various products and services. And so I wanted to actually help a lot more people than just the company that I worked for. And so I thought of Uplifting Value as a name, even though, even while I was working for a company at the time. And to me, Uplifting Value is believing that people have their answers for themselves while supporting them. And that, to me, is how I want to support women. I actually am very passionate about helping women, because a lot of the time the gender pay gap that is in corporate is transferred into the business world just because of the societal structure. So I actually focus on working with women just so that I can uplift them, and men already have a lot more, a lot of the advantages anyway. So So I find that I can provide the most impact by helping women.
That's amazing. And I think obviously we're going to get into it today, but I remember struggling to set my prices. I've now had an agency for 13 years, and I look back at what I charged at the start, and I'm, you know, shocked and appalled. And I think, I think when it all boils down to trying to value yourself and your expertise, I think as women, we naturally sit back and, you know, don't see it. Whereas I see men that are just so, they're so clear that, you know, they know what they want to charge, and, you know, that they're almost not willing to buy, not all the self-questioning that we go through. And I agree. I think Uplifting Value is such a lovely name. And There's not a lot of people you can turn to. I mean, we get asked by our clients, you know, how much should I charge for this? And sure, it's easier for you to look externally at somebody else's offer, but then sometimes you really don't know. You know, I spoke to a client the other day, and they asked me, oh, how much should we, you know, charge for speaking engagements? And I said, oh, we'd have to do research. I'd have to think about it. But really, again, you know, they need to be thinking. And actually she said, I think I'd just charge my hourly rate. And I said, I don't think your hourly rate is reflective of what you're actually doing at that, you know, in that moment, or, you know, during that time. And yeah, it's a tough one. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today.
Well, it's interesting that you say that you value yourself and then you value your expertise. I try to focus on valuing your expertise mm-hmm. and focus on valuing your outcome rather than looking at maybe something like self-worth mm-hmm. or even your hourly rate or competitors.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that's, I'm so keen to hear your tips today because I think, you know, even in my level of business or my, you know, many years down the track, I do still think it's something I struggle with as well. So to get to know you a little bit better, I have some tricky questions. Kicking off with coffee or wine?
I would say coffee daily and wine weekly.
I like that. Or I like to think of the AM to PM. And reading for pleasure or reading for personal development?
Well, I'm a bit of a bookworm, so I do both. And it seems like I'm saying both for all your questions. But I also co-host the One Woof Quarterly Book Club.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, where we discuss mainly business books, so that's development. But, yes, I also read for pleasure as well.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, so you host that with Karen Hollenbach?
Yes.
Karen was one of my first clients, I think, in the first couple of years of business. We were sort of both starting out around the same time. We did lots of work together. We even did some Sydney events together. So. Yeah, I go way back with Karen, but I'm a bit the same. I try to read more for pleasure, so it's a break from everything else that we do. But then I do love a development book, and I do love it, you know, those sorts of books to challenge the mind in different ways. So, given that you're the co-host of the book club, do you have a great recommendation for us?
Well, I have a recommendation that is both personal and development. Okay. I'm a big Brené Brown fan.
Yes.
And so one of my favorite books is The Gifts of Imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps you think about how you think about yourself.
Mm.
And it gives you the opportunity to be imperfect in life and also in business.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. I actually haven't heard of that one of Brené Brown's. But yeah, I have to check it out. I'm actually listening to the audiobook at the moment of Atlas of the Heart, which is, I think, late to the party on that as well. But she's an amazing storyteller, which, you know, makes it so easy to get into as well.
Yes, definitely. And Atlas of the Heart, for me, it's more like a reference book for emotions and describing emotions.
Yeah.
But, The Gifts of Imperfection, she talks about a lot of her story.
Yeah.
And how she applies how to live wholeheartedly to all facets of her life.
Oh, I love that. Then what about beach or bush?
I have to say bush because I love bushwalking and walking in general. So it's and I just don't like sand getting into everything.
I know, it's funny, isn't it? Sand is such the, it's like the bad side effect of going to the beach. And then finally, Instagram or LinkedIn?
I have to say LinkedIn just because I've used it the longest and knowing Karen, she is the expert, and so I've learned so much from her. But slowly I'm moving towards Instagram just because I know that a lot of my clients are on it, and so that's something that I will eventually get into.
Yeah, fantastic. It is interesting, isn't it, because there is such a client base on LinkedIn as well, and there's so many great reasons to be on there. But I feel like sometimes some of the vulnerability that you can open up on Instagram that you might not do so much on LinkedIn can also help to bond you to people in a different way and show a different side of yourself as well.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, look, as I said, I cannot wait to get into this with you. Pricing is such a hard strategy for many of us, and I really want to hear from you. Why do you think we struggle with it so much?
I think it's just when you start, there's just a bit of overwhelm because especially as a service provider, you can start You can charge anything, basically. You can start with zero, which a lot of people do, really, providing services for free, or you can charge up to any amount. And so the start is always tough.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, a lot of people look at their own self-worth as a starting point rather than focusing on how they can impact their client's business. So when you start with self-worth, a lot of people, especially females, have a very low starting point. Mm. And so it's quite naturally that they would start pricing low. What I think also is when, for example, a person comes from the corporate world or is a corporate escapee, they take whatever that they were paid and then translate it into their pricing. But there are two things that come out of that. One is a lot of the time the salary is just your salary. It doesn't include all the kind of on costs or additional costs of running a business, which you need to incorporate into your business. And two, if you were underpaid when you were in the corporate world, then you would just be translating that into the business world.
So true as well. And I think it almost becomes your ceiling as well. It's sort of like if you can build your business to make that much money, then you sort of like, oh, well, good, you know, I've replaced my corporate salary. But, you know, 5 years down the track, what would your career progression have been? What would your, you know, what would you be able to command as a salary? And are you scaling your business expectation the same way?
Yes. And also the salary sort of assumes that you're being paid by the hour. And so, for example, if you get paid by the hour or you charge by the hour, the more experienced you are, the quicker you are, the less you're going to get paid.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of commentary around about that, you know, just because it takes me an hour, you know, that hour it takes me is because I did all these other things and spent all this other time honing my skill. And I think, yeah, the hourly rate is a huge trap in service-based businesses. You know, if a client says, what's your hourly rate? It's, you almost want to avoid giving it because, you know, it's not about exactly what you said. I might be really quick. Something that takes someone else 6 hours might take me four. I don't then deserve to be just paid for four or whatever that hourly rate. It is, like you've said, the value that I'm providing.
Yes, and if you focus on the time, then you're getting paid on the process. But if you focus on the scope or the outcome, you're actually getting paid on how you impact your client or the benefit that you provide to your clients.
Yeah. So where do you see people fall down the most?
It's that hourly rate or self-worth or even looking at competitors and matching the competitors.
Yeah.
When you match your competitors, you're actually assuming that they have the same cost structure as you and then they want to earn the same money as you.
Yeah.
So that's another way where people fall down.
Yeah, that's interesting as well because you're assuming, well, in some ways you're taking on their mindset blocks because whatever led them, you know, there may not be because it's the best price. It may be, again, their own self-worth or their own self-imposed ceiling, and then you're pretty much just taking that on board as yours as well.
Or sometimes pricing is just the last minute thing and people just pluck it out of the air and you're taking on that too.
Yeah, totally. And I think you touched on it before, you know, in a lot of service industries, there is no guideline. You know, what I have to look about my business, you know, what one person charges for social media management versus another. And then web development's a whole other thing. You know, I've sort of had people before you know, want to have the same headlines in a quote so they can compare quote to quote. And I was like, it doesn't really work like that. You know, everyone approaches it differently. Everyone's, again, a level of expertise, level of output is going to be completely different. I can't give you a like for like quote because I don't know all the ways that they do these things. And, you know, I can give you my quote, but I can't look at a quote you've received and try to quote against those things, you know, to come to a total. And especially in service, product is, I worked in product development for some time and, you know, it's easier in a respect because at least you know your fixed cost, you know, your product cost. And then if you're wholesaling, you know, you kind of know your wholesale margin and then you know your gross margin and those sorts of things. But you do still hit that point of like, well, what RRP? I love to tell the story. I worked for a big skincare brand and we launched an eye cream in sort of the early 2000s or mid 2000s. And the landed cost of this product per unit was $12. But because of what the market could take, we sold it for $250 a bottle. Because of the claims, the proven claims, it had, you know, the Therapeutic Goods Association's approval on those claims. So they were legitimate to a degree of, you know, what skincare can actually do. And the market was already paying more for a comparable product. Mm-hmm. So the market could take it. And I think that's, you know, that's almost that, you know, pricing for what people are willing to pay. But as women, you know, imagine trying to, you know, give ourselves that same, I guess, permission. Yes. To go, yes, you know, what is an hour of my time worth? But actually, like you said, what is the value I'm actually giving and what is that worth? What is the, you know, what is the comparable study, upskilling, time, you know, that this person would have to go through to deliver what I'm going to deliver, and what is that worth?
Yes, yes. And also not just willing to pay, but then also they can see the impact that they have. Mm. Then you, if from a service provider point of view, you are actually clarifying the scope, because if the client understands the impact, they're going to pay as much to the level of that impact. And then from a product perspective, if you are just looking at your costs and you're just adding a margin and not looking at the value that you bring, then you're going to be underpricing from your very good example.
Absolutely. Look, I'd love to, I guess, get some actionable tips from you. So what are your top tips for business owners to really price for that value that they provide?
So for me, the starting point is always what problem are you solving? Yeah. And then what is the client's problem from their point of view? And then how is your solution solving that problem? And how is it uniquely solving that problem?
Yeah.
So that you can gauge the outcome that you're providing, the benefit to the client. So looking from a client's perspective, or as always. Mm. And one thing that I always tell established business owners is to go back to their past clients and not just get a testimonial in story, but get a testimonial in story and data.
Okay.
So, you know, like, Anna was really, really efficient, really good to work with. And she also helped me increase my revenue by $10,000.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. That's so true, because then you're quantifying that value, which probably then affects your mindset on what is possible, but also for other people can tangibly demonstrate what you do.
Yes. And to me, that's the uplifting thing, because I encourage business owners to create their kind of value creation bank where, you know, especially the data doesn't change on a rainy day.
Yeah.
I also call it the blue sky, which is, you know, when I'm traveling and I'm on a plane, I love to sit in the window seat and you're taking off. It's windy, it's stormy and rainy, and you take off over the clouds and it's always a clear blue sky above the clouds. And so the blue sky is the value that you create, especially if you can get the numerical data on that. It's not going to change when it's stormy and you're doubting yourself.
I love that. It's the cold, hard facts. That's fantastic. I'm similar to you in that way, that I do love numbers and I'm very analytical, as well as still being creative and love storytelling and all those things. And I think, I think you can build a lot of confidence in numbers. You know, they feel indisputable when someone just tells you you've done a good job, or tells you, you know, you're really good at this, that they are just words, aren't they? But when you can see a number, you can see an impact. And I think part of that is, you know, building your self-worth. You know, unfortunately, as women, I think we have that battle or that mountain to climb. And one of my team members, she actually prints out great client feedback and pins it up in her workstation. And I look at that and I think, what a great way to, you know, on those hard days, on those, you know, difficult times, have something to look at to go, yes, I am making a difference. Yes, you know, I'm making an impact. And I almost feel like it's that. And, you know, you're a mum too. And I think it's almost what we do with our daughters and the work that we do with them from this age to try, you know, impact the generation that's coming through. But I think, you know, we're all coming really far with this, but there's still work to be done.
Yes, yes. And it's always a journey, and always a journey in continuous learning.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is beautiful. And I think, you know, as a fellow bookworm, and I do see your beautiful bookcase behind you, you know, I think lifelong learning is such a great mindset or such a great quality to have as well, because if we're not moving, we're behind. So I think that's a really good way to look at things too. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for your time and sharing your insights. As I said, I was so excited, and you've really given me a lot of food for thought. And I'm sure that listeners today will also be really, you know, writing down notes and taking, you know, giving a lot to think about and really evaluate how they can do better for themselves. Where can people connect with you?
Well, I'm definitely on LinkedIn, and it's Anna Lamb, L-A-M-B, because that's my married name, and also on Instagram at Uplifting Value.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much again for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for everyone for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon. Hey, thanks for listening to another episode. If you don't want to miss one, make sure you subscribe to the show in your podcast app. And if you love it, be sure to share it with friends and colleagues who you think could benefit from increasing their digital marketing confidence. Want more? Head to marianneamies.com to find out how you can work with me directly, to reach out to have me speak at your event, or to grab yourself some free resources.